a jewel that, you know that I have found.
I'm singing hallelujah,
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 hallelujah. I love to praise His
name.
I sing hallelujah,
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 my
yes,
Lord.
I love to praise His name. Let's sing hallelujah,
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 hallelujah.
I love
to praise His name.
Well,
I love to pray
in the morning, I love
to pray
in the evening, I love to pray
to praise His holy name.
Amen. Amen. Good morning to everyone. It's good to be. Good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We are thanking our great God for blessing us to be alive, to be amongst the living, to be walking upright and out of our beds, and our medicine is working pretty good this morning. Do you love God? I really love the Lord. Sing it if you love Him. Yes, I really love the Lord. And you don't do what
He's done.
Thank you, Lord.
He,
oh, yes, He gave me.
He,
oh, and that's why I love. Oh, I love. Watches over me, and he does watch over us. Yes, He does. He, oh, well, he watches over
me,
and you don't know what it's. Thank you, Lord. Yes, He gave me.
He,
oh, and that's why I love the Lord. I love Him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what He's done for me. Oh, yes, He gave
me.
Thank you, Lord. And that's why I love. Oh, I love Him. Yes, I really love the
Lord.
Amen. Amen. You're getting me happy this morning. Yes, God is good. If you're visiting with us, we thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I look forward to Sunday morning. I do. Look forward to it. You know, some of you may have had a tough week this week. Yeah, do you have those sometimes? Yeah, some or some weeks. But it's over. Today. It's the first day of the week. You made it through. And you know what else? You can't go get it back. Some weeks you kind of want to go get back. And some you want to just leave right where they are. But time moves on. It does move on. I started a kind of a series a few weeks ago, Tell Me About the Church of Christ. And I want to try to give a summation this morning. And I want you to stay with me. It is a foundational lesson. It is a lesson that needs to be taught. You need to know why if you are a member of the Church of Christ, and I know you know what you did. Sometimes we need to be reminded. And we need to be reminded. Jesus says to go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then after people were baptized, He says, teach them again. And we have to be retaught and reminded so we can reteach and admonish. And our faith foundation is strong in the Lord. And so Some of this will be a little bit repetitious, but you travel with me, and I hope it's encouraging to members, to those who are not members of the Church of Christ and who has questions. Of course, this is not exhaustive, but it is. I'm trying to be inclusive that you will get a good understanding of what we teach, what we believe. I say we for the most part, but I am the preacher at this particular local body of the Church of Christ. And I'd be the first to tell you that not even every Church of Christ agrees on everything. Now, sometimes members don't want us to say that, but it's the truth. You go to Churches of Christ around the country, and sometimes you may see something that, but when it's all said and done, you and I must stand before God for ourselves. And we know that the Bible is right and the Bible is consistent, but sometimes we get out of whack. And even after you hear any sermon from anybody, it's you that have to make up your mind what you're going to do with it. I listen to a lot of sermons, sometimes from members, not preachers, not Church of Christ preachers. I listen to them because I want to know what they're saying and what they're teaching. But after all, you have to respond to what you believe is the Bible and if the Bible is right. But I do also would say this to you, church members and non-church members, that the Bible is not as difficult to interpretate as people will let it on to be. And if we just studied together, we'd all find, I believe, the same thing in most cases that the Bible teaches. Tell me about the Church of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Ephesians 3:10. So that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church. The church is vital to God. And that's to be stated up front. The church is not an afterthought. It's not something that we can take or leave. The scriptures say the manifold, many-sided wisdom of God might be made known. It is through the church that we display the wisdom of God. He says, and it was in God's mind before he created the world to the rulers and authorities. And some of this I wish I could go deeper in. I just don't have time. See, there's some things that you don't know and I don't know. He says, it may be known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly place. There are entities that we don't even know about. And God's wisdom is shown to anybody, everybody, everything. And he says, I want it to be shown through the church. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the eternal purpose. God has had this in his mind that he wants this relationship, this fellowship with a church, ecclesia, with an assembly, with a body of believers, with the community. God says, through this community, I'm going to display my wisdom. And the church displays God's wisdom. And there's no other institution that compares to the church. No other institution that compares to the church. See, when the church is functioning like it should, when it's functioning like it should, the church is dynamic. Amen. What other institution opens the doors to all races, where the racial divide is broken down, where white, black, red, brown can come together, where economic classes don't matter, whether you are a CEO or you the janitor, when you come into that, you obey and submit your will to God's will, we all become one in Christ Jesus. No other institution, your clubs are exclusive, but Jesus says, whosoever will, let him come. And it's through the church that God wants to show the world that we can all love each other for who we are because God made us all. We all be the same. No other institution like it. Our families are dysfunctional and our families don't love each other. But in the church, we are all to love each other. It's through the church. The church brings glory to God. We're talking about the Church of Christ as God would have it to be. It's the church is to bring glory and honor to God. In everything that we do in the church, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. When the church is operating right in the church, God receives glory, because it's in the church that we're supposed to take care of each other.
Amen.
In the church, we bring glory when we treat each other right, and when we take care of those that's least among us. And in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 34, in the early church, the scriptures say there was no one lacking. See, when the church brings glory to God when everybody is taken care of. Like, no one lacks a necessity in the church. And we ought to be trying to grow as members, as leaders, to make sure we are ministering to the needs of people in the church, members in the church, and even those who are not in the church.
Amen.
And it brings glory and honor to God, because people say that church is God's people. That church treats people right. That church is always doing good works and always doing wonderful things. The church of Christ, when it brings God glory, it's doing things that people see and know that we are the church of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we as his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The church is known for good works. The church shouldn't be known for mess. Church shouldn't be known for controversy. The church shouldn't be known for division. And the church, when people mention the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, that's the church that's always doing good work. They have people over in Africa that they are supporting to preach the gospel. They're doing things for the community. They're always doing things for the less fortunate. They take care of their members. They're always doing good works all the time. That brings glory and honor to God, and people cannot deny. They can say those people love people. They love the Bible. They love God's word, and they love doing good things for everybody.
Yeah.
And notice this. See, we the church can do that together.
Yeah.
Yes, you ought to let your light shine as an individual, and you can help one family. You can take Thanksgiving meal to one family, but we as the church, we can do more together.
Oh, yeah.
In the assembly of God. When we get out of our shelves and work together with one another. And it brings God glory when we do that. That's what God had in mind when he instituted this wonderful assembly of loving people. Some of us are not at the same spiritual maturity level, but the strong bear the infirmities of the weak.
Amen.
And we bear one another and live and support one another, and we love the word of God. God wants all his children to be in one body. As we tell you about the church of Christ, for by one spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, we are all baptized into one body. That is quite clear in the Bible, that it was God's plan before the world began. It is God's plan right now that the whole world be a part of his one body, which is the church, Colossians 1, 18. He wants all of his children to be a part, baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one spirit. Everybody say one.
One.
It's not hard to understand. I don't know why there's difficulty when people say, well, everybody don't need to be in the same church. Yes, God's will is that we all are in the same church.
Yeah.
That we all speak the same thing.
Amen.
That we need to at least say we need to be one in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Yes, so that is God's will. We're all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not one member but many. And we enter the body, the church. We enter the body, the church, through the preached gospel. Through the preached gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. I'm going kind of swift. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel. The gospel, what's the gospel, Brother Gary? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And it is good news.
Yes, sir.
Because it was Jesus who came to this world to redeem us from our sins. And sin has marred us. It has brought death into the world as Adam and Eve committed the first sin. And it brought death into the world. And death has been brought onto us because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Paul said, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you. See, it's through the preached or taught word that people in the world are called to Christ. That's God's plan. It was God's plan. It is God's plan. You might wish it could happen another kind of way, but it's still through the preached and taught word. We must submit our will to God's will, which you also received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. This is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Because of that fact, because Jesus is like no other, because nobody else can replace Jesus, because Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again, we put all of our faith and trust in him because he conquered the grave. We all must die. And if you want to be raised in Christ Jesus and go to heaven, you must die like Christ Jesus in baptism, in the watery grave of baptism. And that's the gospel. That's the good news. God's plan is not that hard. It's not difficult to understand. Everybody needs to do what God said to do in order to be saved if you're going to be added to his church. Believers who answer the call of the gospel are called saints. They're called disciples. They're called Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2, Acts chapter 11 and verse number 26. I'm going to give a lot of scriptures now. Now. And as we teach the doctrine of Christ, it's amazing how men and women have deferred and deflected and fallen away from his teaching. If John the Baptist could speak, a couple of weeks ago I said if Martin Luther could speak, from his grave, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther, who hung the 95 theses on the church at Wittenberg in Germany because he was dejected and confused and frustrated with the falling away of the church. And he tried to correct some things that he saw was wrong, and he brought it to their attention. And many took heart to what he brought to their attention. But after his death, some, instead of following Christ, they labeled themselves as Lutherans. And that is not what Martin Luther had in mind. For them to, if he could roll, he would roll over in his grave if he knew people were calling themselves Lutheran, because the Bible nowhere calls nobody a Lutheran. It's not anything against Lutherans. And somebody say, well, but Gary, that doesn't matter. It might not matter to you, but Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the scriptures tell us they were called saints and disciples, believers. They were called Christians. And if John the Baptist can speak, go to John chapter 3, verse 26. Listen to what John the Baptist said. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you've testified, to whom you preached about Jesus, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. And some of you know your Bibles. You know John the Baptist was the forerunner before Christ. He preached about Christ's coming. He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. It's near. It hadn't come here yet, but it's near. The church is coming. He says in verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. Verse 28, you yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. John 3:29, he who was the bride, the bride is the church, is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, speaking of himself, John, who stands and hears, rejoices greatly of the bridegroom's voice. John says, I'm glad Jesus is baptizing all of those people. I've been preaching about it and telling you about him, so that this joy of mine has been made full. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease, is what John said. Verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. Drop down to verse 35. The Father, John said, loves the Son and has given all things into his name. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And so for that reason, we call ourselves Christians, saints, disciples, not Baptists. See, John was a baptizer, but he had no intention of any people calling themselves, as with all the love that I have as I teach the word of God, he had no intention for anybody to call themselves Baptists. Amen. According to the scriptures, the divine names of the church, divine names of the church. In Acts 20 and verse 28, the church of God. 1 Corinthians 12:27, Christ's body. Ephesians 4:12, the body of Christ. 1 Timothy 3:15, the household of God, the church of the living God. 1 Peter 4:17, the house of God. Everybody's all right this morning? John 3:5, kingdom of God. Colossians 1:13, the kingdom of his beloved son. Romans 16:16. This is not all the instances, but every instance that the church is being identified in the Bible, it gives glory and honor to God the Son and God the Father. Every instance, without a doubt, never to a mountain, never to a place, never to a thing, not calling any of God's people any of these things. We're one in Christ Jesus. The church that's in the Bible, the church that we can read about, the church of Christ, the body of Christ, is a New Testament church. The New Testament church. We talked about this a little bit on last week. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. By as much he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established and acted on better promises. See, in the New Testament covenant, we are under a better covenant. All you have to do is read the Old Testament. You'll know it's better. You know that you don't want to be under that old covenant. It had so many laws and ordinances, it's hard to keep up with all of those laws and ordinances. Listen to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13, Hebrews 8:13, when he said a new covenant. Everybody say new. Don't you? And I know all the time new may not necessarily be better, but in this case, it is better. A new covenant, he's made the first obsolete, but whatsoever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. This is what causes much religious confusion in the world today, because some want to grab some things out of the Old Testament, some things out of the New Testament, and combine them together. Yeah, the Old Testament, we talked about this last week. I won't go in great detail. The Old Testament, there were feast days and the Sabbath day in Exodus 23 that the children of Israel were commanded to withhold. We worship the Lord in the New Testament on the first day of the week. Acts 20:20-7, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, upon the first day of the week. This is a Sunday, the first day of the week. Jesus Christ arose on the first day of the week. When Mary went to the grave on the early in the morning on the first day of the week. John said in the book of Revelation that I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And so we come and worship God on the Lord's Day in the New Testament. Under the Old Testament, the Sabbath day was to remember to keep it holy. There were forbidden foods in Leviticus chapter 11. Foods you could eat, foods you couldn't eat. Under the New Testament, Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, everything is to be received of the Lord. Amen. As long as it's received with gratitude and thanksgiving. Don't sit down and eat a meal without saying thank you, Lord. Amen. All foods are eaten. Incense was commanded under the old law. In Exodus chapter 30, incense was commanded to be lit as a perpetual fragrance that goes up to God at all times. And it was lit and taken care of by the priest. Under the New Testament, our prayers replace the incense. In Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3, the Bible tells us in the New Testament to pray without ceasing. Prayers from the saints, from the disciples, from the Christian, as many of us are just in here, there ought to be prayers going up 24/7 to God all day long. And that is a sweet fragrance to our great God in heaven. And the beautiful thing about it is you don't have to wait for the priest to do it. In the New Testament, we are priests. We are the peculiar people of God who can pray to God at all times. Just knowing that a prayer is going up all the time. Some brother, not late at night, not after 12. After 12, prayers go up. Yes. At 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, prayers can be going up to God. There are people that work all day and all night. In the Old Testament, singers were appointed. Instruments were played in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Under the New Testament, nobody sings for you. We all sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing grace and melody in our hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, Romans 15:7-11, Hebrews 3:13, verse 5, that the fruit of lips, the fruit of whose lips, Brother Gary? Your lips and my lips. My lips don't sing for you and your lips don't sing for me. We had song service a few minutes ago. Brother Vernon was singing, I love to pray. If you wasn't singing, you wasn't praising God. Amen, somebody. Yes. And so we sing for ourselves. We don't come to the church house to be entertained. And I got my church on and they showed it sang good. Did you sing to the Lord? Yes, under the Old Testament law, David had multiple wives. Under the New Testament law, one spouse, if you will. Somebody ought to say amen. 1 Corinthians 7:2, Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed is undefiled. But he says, whoremongers and adulterers, you have two or three wives, five or six girlfriends, you will be judged by God. Yes, and in the Church of Christ, structure and order in the church is not left to chance. It's not left to chance. Some folk think they can start a church and kind of do it like they want to do it and call things what they want to call them and do what they want to do. Jesus didn't leave the church to chance. Listen to Acts 1:3. Acts 1:3, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, after Jesus died on the cross and after he arose. Some of you know when he arose, he came back and he was shown of himself and seen, the scriptures say, to over 500 people. But he spent some intimate time with his apostles. And it says, after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, he was seen with a few. He was seen with many. He was seen with a large group. But then he appeared to them. To them is his apostles over a period of 40 days. And that's a long time to have a Bible, have a workshop. And speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God, he taught the apostles everything he wanted them to know about, notice, the kingdom of God, the house of God, the household of God, the church of God, the church of Christ. He taught them what he wanted to teach them about how he wanted his church to function on earth. In Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles, and that's what he did. He selected 12 men, and he taught them everything. They walked with him. They saw his compassion. They saw his love. They saw that church is more than just the structure, but he gave them structure. See, there's some in the church that like lessons like this because they just like to know that we in the right place and we're set up the right way. But church is more than just being set up the right way. We have church evaluators who are always evaluating if you got the elders right and the deacons right and who's in the right place and is the service right and we taking communion. And all of those things are important, but we need to make sure we are doing church. Amen. We're treating people right and we're loving folks and we're teaching the gospel and we're outside of these walls, not just analyzing everything. And he gave some as apostles, and the apostles have done their job, and they're all gone. And he gave some as prophets. Some of the prophets died proclaiming the word of God. And he said some as evangelists. The evangelist is to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That is my charge. That is Brother Ray Wilkerson's charge. That is all the ministers' charge who preach and teach the gospel, is to preach and teach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And he gave some as evangelists, and he gave some as pastors. The pastors, that's the word for bishops, for elders in the church of Christ. And according to the scriptures, there's not one pastor that pastors a whole church. The word pastors is always plural. It's elders, it's bishops, it's deacons. It's always plural, and they oversee the work of the church and the charge of the church, and they make sure that the truth is being taught. They take care of the needs of the church. So he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and some as teachers. What did he give them for? He says this, for the equipping of the saints. See, God's structure, as he taught those apostles how the church was to be operated and respond. You go to 1 Timothy 3 and you see the qualifications for the elders and qualifications for the deacons. You see in Titus 1 and the qualifications for the elders, the qualifications for older men and women in the church. And he gives all of this to the apostles to teach to the church. This is how the church is to be operated. He says, for the equipping of the saints, one of the main jobs of the evangelists, of the pastors, is to make sure that the gospel is being taught and that the people of God are equipped to do work and not sit on their behinds all day long. Yeah, excuse me, I hope that wasn't a bad word. To not sit church, but do church. Equip, the word work is an action word. See, it's more than just coming here. See, we sing praises to God. That's what God wants us to do. But God wants us to do ministry. Where? On our jobs. In the workplace. As we go, as we walk, the way we treat people, that to take advantage of opportunities that there are to minister to people, to lead others to Christ. For the work of service, notice, to the building up of the body of Christ. We're talking about God's church and the church of Christ and what it's supposed to be about. And so when a church stops doing works of service, when a church becomes stagnant and a church becomes argumentative and internally focused, it's not exemplifying what God would have it to be as his church. When people in the neighborhood don't even know that the church is in the neighborhood, something wrong with that church. Amen, somebody. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 1, Paul and Timothy, the evangelists, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints, that's members, all the members in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers, that's the pastors, the bishops, and the deacons. If you want to know the organizational structure of the church in the Bible, the church of Christ, the church of God, the kingdom of God, the household of God, there it is. Nothing more, nothing less. The way God designed it to be. In the church of Christ, there is no head bishop, no head pastor, no archbishop, no cardinals, according to the scriptures, not identified according to the scriptures. In the church of Christ, there is no reverend in the church of Christ. Matthew 23, if I had time to go through that. We are all brethren in the church of Christ. We are all sisters, no big I's and little U's. You don't have to call Brother Gary Reverend Gary. The Bible says holy and reverend is his name, and my name is not his name. As a matter of fact, you can call, see, and some in the church, some have a problem with this because of authority and disrespect. Now, the Bible tells us to honor, and matter of fact, the scripture tell us to give double honor to those who are worthy of honor, our elders who are teaching the gospel. But you can call me Gary if you want to call me that. I don't mind. It doesn't bother me or hurt my feelings because in the Bible, there's not a Reverend Paul. There's not a Reverend Peter. There's not a Pastor Paul. Most of the time, they refer to as Paul, Peter, John, Andrew, James. And so if you just want to call me Gary, I don't mind. Some members might get mad and say, you need to respect the preacher. Well, just do what the Bible says, man. Yes. You call me Brother Gary, that's okay, too. Yes. But I don't have a big ego. And I'm not trying to be nothing that God have made me.
Amen,
amen somebody.
Amen.
Amen. It don't hurt to learn something from the Word of God, does it? Sometimes you don't know. Some people don't know. Some people say, well, I just out of respect, bro, you the pastor of the church. No, and then I'm not the pastor. I'm not one. I could be a pastor, one of the pastors, if I was ordained by the elders, by the church. I could be one of the pastors. But I'm not the pastor. I'm the evangelist of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. I preach the gospel. I teach. Now, the evangelist, of course, works very closely with the elders. And with the pastors, a church can't function like God would have it to function if the evangelists and the pastors, the deacon, the elders, if they're not working together, church can't function like it's supposed to function. Now, as the evangelist, sometimes my job is to preach the word, but the scriptures say reprove. Sometimes there are points that have to be proven over, have to be reproved. You know, you preach that there's one church and that the gospel, that you, in order to be saved, you must hear, believe, repent, and be baptized. He says, you have to preach that over and over again. Somebody come and want to teach something else. The preacher has to make sure that the gospel, the truth, is heard by the church, and we know that it's the Bible. He says, reprove. He says, rebuke. Is my job as a preacher. Sometimes a person has to be rebuked, has to be told that they're out of line. That sometimes it needs to happen. Now, it needs to be done in love.
Amen.
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 But sometimes some things just need to be said.
Yes.
Brother, you're wrong. If we have a brother in church, now the elders can do this or the evangelists can do this in the church house. If we find out that a brother is, let's say, he might be dating five women in the church.
Oh, right.
Oh brother, don't go there. I'm going there. He might be dating five women in the church. He's not necessarily married, but he's leading the women on and hurting. He's dating one week and dating another one another week and dating another. And the sisters, like, they start talking, saying, look, this brother, you need to make up your mind. You talking to him, you talking to her, and news is getting into church. Amen, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody need to say something to that brother. It don't need to be the whole church. First of all, we need to confirm that it's happening, because sometimes, brothers, I know you get a bad rap. Amen. Somebody notice. That's why anybody can't be an elder. No, see, elder has to be discreet, love the people, and we're not just, because somebody come to a church leader and tell them something, we just believe them hook, line, and sinker. Bro, Gary, he's been messing over me and saying, now we got to be sure that that's happening. It's a difficult job. But sometimes somebody needs to be rebuked in a church house. Amen. Everybody can't do that. I know some of you saying, oh, get out of my business. Well, in the church, it's God's business. Yeah, it's God's business. Amen, somebody. When you want that to happen, you know, if a sister in here, you know, sister in here, she breaking up somebody's home. And I say, I know it don't, you know, I know there are other dynamics, but I'm just going in areas that sometimes we don't talk about. See, and I'm saying this because in Christ's church, in his church, there's structure and order. And God has set things up the way he has for a reason, because some people leave the church, they're gone, you don't know why. And I tell you why, it's because the elders, they don't know what's going on, and they're the last to find out. And nothing is done. But in the church house, God has set up structure in the church, and we're supposed to love each other and rebuke. He says, rebuke, exhort, build up. Every lesson can't be about what everybody doing sinning all the time. Yeah. Every lesson can't be that you beating the church down. Y'all not coming, you not acting right, and you don't give right, and you just beating folk down. Folk get that at all week long. Mm. Folks come to the Lord's house to have hope and to know that. We all make mistakes sometimes, but we're not wallowing in our sins. We're not living in our sins, and we need to be built up and lifted up. And we also need to know everybody in here not perfect. Amen, somebody? You know, no, I mean, seriously. Matter of fact, we need to spend more time building up than anything else to me in the church house. Yeah, but we don't want to live in our excuses. We don't want to pacify sin, because sin is ugly, isn't it? And it destroys lives and it destroys people. And so the evangelist's job is to reprove, rebuke, to exhort with all long suffering. In the church, Lord have mercy, you have to have some patience in the church. I mean, I say we have to have patience with people. Because see, some people are quick to leave. I'm just leaving. You know what? I'm gone. I'm not dealing with this. Well, come on, hold up now. Don't just leave the church. Because salvation is in the church. My final scripture I'm going to end with, I'm going to show you something the brother read in your hearing a few moments ago. You see, the church of Christ is precious to God. It's precious to Jesus. It is the entity. It's compared to marriage. Jesus is the savior of the body, the church. And he says, I show you a mystery. He talks about it all in the book of Ephesians. And he says, marriage is like the church. You know, and in marriage, you have your good days and you have some bad days. And you have some in-between days. You have some days when you just get on each other's nerves. Some days you get up and you say, am I married? Some days a person, you know, you just love them to death. And some days it's like, whoo, I wish you'd just leave for a second. Some days you have joys. Some days you have pains. But it's marriage. And you don't just jump out because you're not feeling good. You don't just leave. You work with each other. You tolerate each other. In the church, we have to remember we all don't come from the same place. Everybody wasn't raised with two parents. Some people cursed in their home. Some people smoked, they drank, they part. Some people lied. Some people did all these things. But we come together and God said, love each other. Why can God tell us that? Because he does it every single day with all of us. And he tolerates all of us, our foolishness. And some of us think we're good, but you're not that good. Yeah, yeah. You got us food, but you don't have God food. God knows what's in your mind. He knows the nasty thoughts you think, the things you do in secret. God knows. That's why all of us ought to be able to tolerate people, because you're not perfect. Yeah, you don't act perfect all the time. Some of us think we are perfect because we think we do things right, but some of us have the nastiest attitudes. Amen. Some. Who you talking about, Brother Gary? I don't know. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. Then comes the end. When he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, Jesus, he comes back. And all the world will be judged. Everybody. And notice how this functions. Hold your place right there. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. That's why I identified the church of Christ, the kingdom of God, kingdom of his dear son, the church of God, the household of God. For judgment to begin with the household of God. This is why I want to be in Christ. We want to be in Christ's church, in Christ's body, because Jesus, in the end, he's going to hand over the kingdom. You remember, it's God's eternal purpose through the church to display his glorious wisdom to the rulers and principalities in heavenly places. He's going to present, he wants this everlasting community because he wants to give us eternal life. You remember, we were condemned in the garden to death. Now he gives us another chance to have this eternal life. And he's going to begin his judgment in the church house, in his church. Not necessarily this building, but with those people who have done it his way, who call themselves by his name and his name alone. And he's going to begin judgment in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, the scriptures say, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? See, the gospel is preached and it is good news, but it's not good news to nobody who don't obey it. So when he preaches the gospel, the good news, and Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost, he says, they asked the question, some of them asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? That is a fundamental teaching in the church of Christ, that when you hear the gospel, you can't save yourself. There is something that God does, but there is something that we must do in order to enter Christ, in order for God to add us to his church. And that is obey the gospel. That is do just what they did. They asked, what shall we do? And Peter told them, repent, change your mind about sin. And he said, be baptized, every one of you. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. And they did that. And by them doing that, the scriptures say, praising God and having favor with all the people in the Lord. And the Lord God added to the church those who are being saved. So the saved are in his church. Which church, Brother Gary? The one church we read about in the Bible. The body, the Christ, Christ's body, the church of Christ, the kingdom of God. They added to the body. Then judgment begins with us. Now, just because you're in the church, just because you're sitting in the church, just because your name is on the roll, doesn't mean that you necessarily will be saved. That needs to be said, doesn't it? But judgment begins with us. Notice this. Well, Brother Gary, what about the people who are not in the church? Why are you at? That's an obvious question, isn't it? But it's also that you shouldn't ask me that question. That question needs to be asked, need to be answered by you, and directed to God. But it really shouldn't be a question at all, because he says, what will the outcome be for those who obey not the gospel? See, if you're not in the church, judgment doesn't, your judgment is sure. And so, when Jesus delivers up the kingdom after the judgment, all nations will be before him. The sheep on his right, the goat on his left. He presents those who are saved, who are in his church, he presents them to the Father. And those spend eternity with God the Father.
Amen.
The scriptures tell us, whatsoever we do in word or in deed, do all in the name by the authority of Jesus. And so this foundational teaching is what we teach in this Church of Christ, that a person needs to be, how a person needs to be saved is very important. If you're in your salvation, he says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For your salvation, he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is. That is the reward of them that diligently seek him. You must confess Christ with your mouth. Romans 10:9-10. Matthew 10:32. You must be baptized in water for the remission of your sin, for the forgiveness of your sin. God adds you to his church. You said, Brother Gary, I was baptized when I was an infant. I was a baby. Well, you probably don't remember when you were baptized. You know someone else did it. The scriptures say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you're a baby, how can you believe and you can't even speak?
Amen.
Well, Brother Gary, my parents did it for me. Well, it's not time for you to do it for yourself.
Amen.
Don't you think? Yeah, well, it's a tradition in my church. It might be a tradition in your church, but it's not a commandment in the word of God.
Amen.
And when it boils down, is who we respect more. Is that difficult? Okay, that's your interpretation of it. Well, you read it for yourself and you interpret it yourself. I'm just teaching what I believe the Bible teaches. Notice this, I said, I'm teaching what I, well, that's what you teach. Well, you read it for yourself and you be honest with yourself. Amen, somebody. But if you want to be baptized into Christ, if you want to be added to the church of Christ, you obey God and God will do the rest.
Oh, yes.
And we present, we don't twisting anybody. We know that there are many faiths and there are many beliefs and many different, but that's why we teach this to the church. We teach it to our members because we want them to ask. It's not a secret. We're not hiding the Bible from you. If you have a question about anything, ask us the question. But we also understand there's some folks who won't just show me the Bible. Mm-hmm. Show me the truth. I want to obey God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we teach.
Mm-hmm.
In all the love, I know some members, some preachers in the Church of Christ, some members in the past have been so dogmatic and act like they're happy that people are in error.
Lord,
and to me, that's a sin. And it hurts the church. Because there are sincere people who love God, who are seeking God, who are trying to do right, but they've been misled and in error.
Lord have mercy.
But it also says that there was a time that God winked or overlooked ignorance. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. To repent means to turn. The main focus in the first century was the apostles had the hardest time trying to get the Jews to accept Jesus Christ. They love God, they serve God, but if they were going to be saved, they had to come to New Testament teaching. And some of them came, many of them came, but many of them did not. And so judgment awaits us all. And this is foundational. And we hope that someone wants to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ like they did in the Bible. And if you're here today and you want to do that, would you do it now as we stand and sing?
Careless soul, why will you linger wandering from the fold of God? to meet thy God.
Careless soul,
careless soul, oh, heed thy warning, and for your life
will soon be gone.
Will soon be gone.
Will soon be gone.
And oh, how sad to face thy judgment. And why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by and your life is spent in folly? Oh, prepare to meet thy God and careless soul. Oh, heed thy warning, and for your life
will soon be gone.
Will
yes,
soon
your
be
life
gone.
Will soon be gone.
And oh, how sad to face thy judgment. Unprepared to meet thy God and hear you not the earnest pleadings of your friends that wish you well. And perhaps before tomorrow you'll be called to meet your God. Careless soul, oh, heed thy
warning,
and for your life
will soon be gone.
Will soon be gone. And oh, how sad to face thy judgment.